Chapter 17, An Incredible Story. On Monday, I attended the mission and ministry team meeting at church to begin planning for the annual drive-through living nativity. At the meeting, I briefly mentioned that a friend's church was meeting on Wednesday night to divide their building fund between foreign missionaries and other charitable organizations, and that my friend, Jenny, was going to recommend they make a donation to support the Bridge of Hope Mission Project. Jessica was excited that she remembered giving Jenny the bridge flyer at the car wash on Saturday. After our meeting, I stopped Pastor Ben in the hallway and told him the story of the 10 $1 bills. This was the reason Jenny and Richard had come to the car wash on Saturday, simply to repay the generosity I had shown to them in April. Then, I made a profound statement. Ben, if Jenny's church gives $1,000 because I have given them 10 $1 bills, wouldn't that be a modern-day version of the multiplying of the fish in the Bible? Pausing briefly, Pastor Ben exclaimed, Thomas, it would be an incredible story. That night I went home and typed 2 pages of notes and my thoughts for Sunday's bridge update, thanking people who came out to help wash cars, telling of how much money was raised, Jenny's church's willingness to help support the mission project, and the drowning of Orlando. Finally, I challenged people to open up their hearts and to give so we could reach the fundraising goal of $25,000, telling them that whatever they had already given, they needed to give that much again. Maybe that was too bold, but it was getting late, and I knew I could put the finishing touches on it the next night. On Tuesday morning, I typed Pastor Ben an expressive email. Pastor Ben, I finally realized why this bridge project has been such an emotional up-and-down journey for me. I put too much faith in man and not God. I expect other people to want to give as much as I do when they say, I want to give, but then do not. Or I expect too much, like Jenny and her church, expecting them to wrap their heart around this project and say, we'll make up the difference, getting my hopes up only to be disappointed. Ben, I'm tired of being disappointed. I want God to show himself and for the end of the fundraising to be a great awakening. But that's what I want, for the fundraising to wrap up with a miracle gift, something totally unexpected, for people to say, wow. So I will pray for his will to be done and not my own. And if it happens, know it was he who allowed it to, and not something I had hoped for. But it would make a great story. Oh my, wouldn't it? Thomas. That Tuesday night, I sat down at the computer and read back over the 2 pages of notes I had typed the night before. I stared at all of those words for over 20 minutes, but each time when I read them, they made no sense at all. None. Then, I got up and emptied the kitchen trash, and as I was coming up the steps from the garage, I stopped and said, Lord, give me the words you would have me to say. I came in the house, sat back down at the computer, and started typing at the top of the page. I ended up deleting every bit of what I had typed the previous night. I stopped the bridge update for Sunday with the last 2 sentences from the email I had sent my pastor that morning. So I will pray for his will to be done and not my own. And if it happens, know it was he who allowed it to and not something I had hoped for. When I had finished typing those 2 sentences, I sat back and thought to myself, now, I just have to wait until tomorrow night and find out how much Jenny's church gives. Then I heard his voice, finish it now. Not even pausing to think, I typed these words, and you know what? He did. As I stared at those last few words, I remember asking myself, did what? It was now 11:35 p.m. I knew Ken France wouldn't be up this late, but but I wanted to share with him the bridge update for Sunday and remind him to say one final prayer that Jenny's church would vote to support the bridge project. In fact, I still have that email, and in the last sentence I wrote, "Say a prayer and expect a miracle to happen with this project, my friend." So I was shocked when I got Ken's reply at 12:06 a.m. Ken must have been praying at the same time I was typing my email to him, as his email reply read, "Thomas, you are amazing. I prayed for your success and just came up from prayer for you and the village in Nicaragua with a big smile on my face. A sign?" Wednesday was a busy day at work. I was on the phone all morning and hadn't even had time to turn on the radio, which sits on the small window shelf behind my desk. The window blinds were fully closed because the morning sun was so bright. When I turned around from my desk, I looked up and noticed something I had never noticed before in my office window, a cross. I stopped for a moment before realizing it was formed by the light filtering in through the window frame. Still, it was like the Lord was saying, "I am here. Now you do what you know how to do. Pray, and I will do what I know how to do. A miracle. Stop worrying. I will make up the difference." At that moment, I said a prayer and let go of all the worrying I had about the money. That night during choir practice, Cynthia sent me an email. "Jenny is calling you. Take the call." I quickly exited the choir, put up my music folder, and waited for Jenny's call. Minutes passed like hours. Finally, my phone rang. It was Jenny. We talked for probably 30 minutes. I shared with her the story of the 10 $1 bills and what they meant to me in my life, but I wasn't sure what they had meant to her. Then, she said just before I came that evening to visit Richard in the hospital, her son Jacob had asked her for a dollar so he could buy a drink. When she looked in her pocketbook, she didn't have any change. She told him he would have to wait. Then when I gave her that card, and after she opened it, and all those dollars were lying in her lap, she almost cried. She felt such a blessing was given to her by someone from the baseball field, not even a family member. I told her when I left the hospital that night, I was thinking, these people are going to think I'm crazy and weird. Who would do something like this? She boldly interrupted, "Thomas, no. You never know how what you give will affect other people, and never worry about what people think about what you do for them. You don't know what people are going through." Then the thought occurred to me, the statement I keep telling people in the church updates and newsletter stories is absolutely true. In life, it's not the big things people need, but the small, simple acts of kindness. Before I let her continue, I needed to confront her with something. "Jenny," I started out, "I talked with Jessica after we talked on Sunday night and told her the exciting news that a couple from the baseball field had gotten their truck washed Saturday and were going to recommend that their church make a donation to the bridge project. Jessica remembered you because you had brought Jordan and Sean to the car wash, who were still in their baseball uniforms. I told Jessica you had gotten a bridge flyer and were really touched at the need for the bridge. Then Jessica told me when she first offered you a bridge flyer, you told her that you didn't want one, and then you turned around to leave. Jessica was shocked that someone wouldn't want a flyer. After a brief pause, Jenny answered, 'Yes, I remember after I paid her, she did offer me a flyer. I told her I didn't need one. But when I turned to walk away, a thought came in my mind. I turned back and said, "Yes, give me one of those. I have someone I want to share it with." At that moment, I quickly realized how close Jenny came to not taking a bridge flyer, for none of this even happening right now. As I thought back to that Saturday, I realized her truck was getting washed at the exact same time Mike was telling me the news of Orlando's drowning. God was there that day. It wasn't just a car wash. She continued our conversation by saying she had started to go into her church's meeting and tell the others what I meant to her and that they needed to support this project. But she didn't have to, because her pastor brought up the bridge project on his own, sharing with the group from the information I had sent. He told them this was one of the greatest mission projects he had ever heard of and recommended that they fully support it. The members' yes vote was unanimous. At that point, I was overwhelmed, even before she shared the amount they would be donating. That night, as Cynthia and I talked about Jenny's church, she made a stunning statement. Thomas, Jenny's church, the money in their building fund, that represented their dream of one day building their own church. They are giving up their dream to support our dream. Wow. I hadn't thought about it in that way, but she was right. During the mission project update on Sunday, I would be sure to remind my church's congregation of that fact. On that Sunday, as I stood in front of my congregation giving the bridge update, I could barely hold in all of the emotions that were flowing through my body. To me, Jenny's church supporting the bridge project was the answer to my prayer for another church to become involved and support the bridge project, even if only in a small way. And now I fully understood what the words I had typed on Tuesday night meant, and those would be the last two words of my update. After talking for over 10 minutes, which included sharing the story of Orlando, the car wash fundraiser, and of Jenny's church making a donation to the bridge fund, the congregation probably thought the words, "Stop worrying, I will make up the difference," was just a faith statement to end the update. But I had the answer, as I continued. And you know what? He did. At that moment, there was complete silence as everyone stared at me. Then I broke the silence with these words, "And they did." Jenny's church voted to give $6,000 to the Nicaraguan Bridge Project. The fundraising is finished. After hearing these words, I could see the astonishment on everyone's faces. At the end of the service, Pastor Ben asked me to stand at the front of the sanctuary so everyone could come by and speak, just to show their appreciation for my dedication to the bridge project. As the last few members were coming up to me, I saw Jessica as she hurriedly came down the aisle towards me. "Thomas, you're not going to believe this, but a couple was so moved at everything that happened in the service today, they're going to pay for my entire trip to Nicaragua." "That's great," I said. Maybe not sensing enough excitement in my reply, she said, "No, but you don't understand. I've been working a second job cleaning people's houses to save enough money to buy my plane ticket. Now I can use that money to buy things for the children in Nicaragua." After hearing her explanation, I fully shared in her excitement. I saw the personal sacrifices she was making for the trip. She had now received her blessing from God for being so faithful to His church, for being the first person at the car wash that Saturday morning, and for handing out the bridge flyers. Then it occurred to me, the small congregation church, literally closing its doors, crossing denominational boundaries, seeing this as God's project and not man's, giving up their dream of one day building a permanent meeting place, all so that the Gavilán and Patastule communities in Nicaragua could realize their dream of a bridge. Then dividing up their building fund, voting to give $6,000 to the Bridge of Hope, which meant the fundraising goal would be met in only 5 months. Yes, the small congregation church sacrificially gave the most, just like the poor widow in the Bible who gave all she had to live on. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Yes, that one car wash fundraiser, that one second in time, that one bridge flyer, that one Saturday morning, my one prayer for another church to become involved in the fundraising efforts, my one prayer that morning for God to bless a simple car wash fundraiser, and then one friend coming to the car wash because of 10 $1 bills I had given to her and her husband in a hospital room in April, only because someone had done the same for me over 20 years ago.
God showed himself, not secretly, but for everyone to see, and now for everyone to read about. All the why did this happen to me questions in life are not always known at the time. Some answers and blessings may take months for one to realize, some years, and yes, for me, 20 years. Everything in life has a reason and a purpose, absolutely everything. God has a purpose for each of our lives, someone to witness to, someone to reach out and help, someone to be a friend to. All we need to do is slow down enough, be still, and listen for his small voice to simply tell us who. 10 $1 bills, seemingly insignificant to me 20 years ago, planted a seed in my heart that would continue to grow, then God telling me when to share and exactly who to share it with. Now, I'm able to share that blessing with two communities in Nicaragua who need a bridge so no one else has to drown in that river. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Author's comments. I know this almost seems like a made-up story, one found in a fairy tale, happening in a faraway land, but the story is true. I should know, because I was there. First on the receiving end of 10 $1 bills, and then on the giving end. And now, if I ever feel led to share my faith with someone, I simply start out the conversation by asking them this simple question. Would you like to hear an amazing true story?